Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to the program. Today, we're going to talk about a post that I put on my Facebook where a parent is out partying and a baby is crying, "Where's mommy?" And I'm the nicest guy in the world, but I have a way of pushing people's buttons. Pretty long weekend, and also we're going to dedicate this half an hour to my good friend, one of my best friends, Tammy. Her mom at 10 o'clock went in for heart surgery, and she said, "If something happens to me, I don't want to be revived." So keep her in your prayers, and this half an hour is dedicated to her. The conversation begins right now. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light monetary affection is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are translucent, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Corinthians 4. 16 through 18, just kind of think about that as you're going through your day to day. I chose that as something that I thought was fitting for Tammy as she's been going through a rough couple of weeks with her mom, basically telling doctors, you know, when you go to take that clot out and, you know, clear the arteries and get, you know, some of the, you know, clear the pipes and stuff around her heart, if I go out, don't revive me. And that I can't even imagine that, because my show's kind of been turned upside down, because I was going to talk about some other things, but I thought some of this would be priority. And for me, I couldn't, it's like, imagine, well, I want to be kept on life support. Have you not? I don't think anyone who's been on life support has ever come back full enough to be able to explain what they felt when they were on life support. I may say that now, but when it comes time to being on life support, I may say, well, now that I'm on it, okay, I can't move, can't talk, can't do anything, I got a feeding tube, you know, just pull the tube, don't want to do anything. I can't move. I have no life. It's the old saying, what would you do if a guy put a gun to your head? I couldn't tell you until a gun was put at my head. I couldn't begin to, because I guarantee you what you would say is, oh yeah, if I was in a grocery store and a guy had a gun in there and he was robbing it, oh yeah, I'd pull out my gun, take him out. You say that now, but when it actually happens, I'd probably be like running to the exit in the back, freaking out, even though I do conceal and carry. Like I said many times, you know, I can feel and carry, but I pray to God I'm only shooting at a target or a metal duck or some balloons down the range, you know. So just kind of keep her in your prayers, and I really appreciate that. And I am a really nice guy. I really am. If you see me mad, it takes a lot to get me mad. You have to punch buttons. And I rarely, rarely get mad, because that's not me. I don't want anyone to live like I've lived or stuff that's gone on in my life. But I posted a thing on Facebook, I have a way of pushing buttons. For some reason, when I post stuff on Facebook, I'm opinionated. And if I believe something, this is kind of off the subject, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to give up my freedoms that our forefathers died to give us. I'm not going to let our forefathers who died in vain, I'm not going to let them die in vain. I'm going to stand up and fight till my last breath to keep the freedoms that they died to give us. Friday night was Pierce Morgan's last night on last show. And on that show, he pushed again for disarming every American, okay? If we want this country to run like Pierce Morgan, we might as well stay British. Seriously. And Glenn Beck has lost it in a good way. When Barack Obama was on the giving a speech about how we didn't have billions of dollars to spend on advertising Obamacare, and that's why no one signed up and we don't have the numbers we have, even though he's been on Rachel Ray's show, he's been on Ellen DeGeneres. They have spent more money than you realize. I think they calculated it was like $5 billion spent on pushing this Obamacare. Every time he has a press conference, it's not about, you know, Russia going into Syria or going into the Ukraine or North Korea attacking South Korea. It's about Obamacare. But I have a way of pushing buttons. And I posted a thing where it has a girl partying and this little girl's like, where's my mommy crying? One of my friends posted on this, and she's a great parent, by the way. Not saying anything bad about her. She's a great parent. And I'll explain what I mean. Because I babysat for her, and she's like, well, all they're going to do is they're going to ask for more cookies, more milk, they're going to want to stay up, da-da-da-da-da. Well, when I babysat for her, like, three times, the kids have wanted mommy. I slept with one of her younger ones, and he cried himself to sleep because he wanted mom. Where's mommy? Where's mommy? Well, she's a great parent. And excuse me if she wants to go out and have an evening with her hubby and have a good time, whether it's dinner and a movie or go out to a club and dance a little bit or whatever. She is a great parent. I'm the same way. When my mom, if she went out or whatever, because a lot of times, you know, if my mom and dad went out a couple times they did, I'm one of my mom. And they went ballistic. That's not, I didn't say what I just said, and, you know, that, because I don't like to fight, but because I know some people in schools that teach and stuff and whatever, that they did a, there's an alternative school in town, and there were some kids that did, they did a school day where they made Christmas cookies, and a lot of those 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids had never made Christmas cookies. And when I talked about that, oh, you know how kids are, that they're liars, whatever. There's no 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that have never made Christmas cookies, whatever. They're just saying whatever they have to. Kids lie. I'm like, well, when they have a rap sheet long enough, trust me, you can tell when a kid's lying. You can tell when a kid has generally never made a Christmas cookie or never done something. You can see that. When they have a book a mile long from the court system, because they're basically from shuffle from one aunt to one uncle to one grandparent, they don't have parents. I don't know who these kids are because out of confidentiality, I can't be told their name. She just said, in general, most of these kids have never made Christmas cookies. Genuinely have never done it. They were, like, on cloud nine getting to make Christmas cookies. And let me tell you, I know kids, when I was in high school, that would have hated it. You got to make cookies? Are you kidding me? They would have hated it. Some of these kids were, like, a deer in headlights. They were, and of course, everything, there are no parents. They're being shuffled from aunt to uncle. Like the movie Courageous, the short sure that this picture's from, where that guy goes, did it really mess up your life not having a dad? more than you'll ever know. I struggled with who I was. I almost died in the game. You know what? If dads just did what they're supposed to do, half this stuff we face on the street wouldn't exist. And I get this all the time. I'm not a parent. I'm the last person in my family that can actually pass on my name. So if I don't have a boy, my family name stops. So it's kind of important to me to have, I really want to have a biological kid. And if that can't happen, then I can see adopting, you know. Because I've looked into it one time, having a surrogate person carry a child for me and whatever. So being a radio host like I am and do what I do, you can't be a radio host, you can't do what I do, and not have your personal life out there. It's going to be out there, you know. I'm waiting for someone who's a politician to say, okay, here you go, folks. We're going to do an hour-long special. This hour-long special, I'm going to tell you everything you want to know about me. When I'm done with this special, I will apologize if the liberal media can come up with something that I didn't express on my show. Oh, yeah, I did have an affair with that girl. Yeah, share her. Oh, yeah. But no. See, if you look at the police report, I gave her shoes back. It may not say in the police report, but she got her shoes back. Yeah, I gave her shoes back. That's me. Oh, yeah. I did that. Oh, yeah. I drank when I wasn't 21. Oh, yeah, I did. That, I got to come out with that stuff. You see, if you're a liberal and you do cocaine or heroin, no one gives a crap. But if you're a Republican, there are people in jail who did that. You know? I'd be coming out with all my personal if I was going to be a politician. And as a radio host, your personal life's going to be out there. You're going to talk about stuff. I mean, my dad left my birth to go, because he had to be at a meeting for the international division of a company that doesn't even exist anymore. But he had to leave my birth because he had to be at that meeting. You know, one of the big things I get is, you're not a parent. How can you be a parent? You can't comment on being a parent. How can you comment on being a parent when you're not even a parent? You don't have kids. Well, I'll explain. I was raised by a mom and dad. I can have an opinion because I can say, you know what? This is how I was raised. Would I raise my kid this way or would I not raise my kid this way? Do I think it was beneficial for me or no? My dad spent a lot of my childhood overseas. He was gone for 6 months. It wasn't a function of, you know, him not being there, being, okay, well, he came home every night but missed my dance recital or missed my piano recital, whatever that the thing may be. He was in Saudi Arabia for 6 months, in Turkey for 3 months, in Chad, in Egypt, Tehran. You know, Colombia, whatever the case may be. Here's this number. If you guys have problems, call this number and we should be able to find out where he is and possibly get a message to him. And it might be a day or two later before you get the message. He was one of those people that I'd rather been homeless. I'd rather been in a soup kitchen line with my dad. But he's one of those people that he worked. Well, you got to be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to provide for your family. Well, okay. I mean, your kid's only going to walk once. It's only going to talk once for the first time. It's only going to, you need to be there. I mean, I do have some issues because my dad was not around when I was really young. Even to this day, he puts himself above anyone. Doesn't mean he won't help me or help my sister or help my mom, but it's one of those where you can't say he doesn't do anything for you, but at the same time, he's a workaholic. He's in at 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. That's what you have to do to run business. Okay, well, do that then. If that's what makes you happy, do it. You're not going to, you know, I believe in working hard and doing a good job and busting my butt, but I also want to know that I can still have a life outside of my job and still be able to do stuff. And because my dad's one of those people, if we worked at Tire Barn, he would put tires on his car all day long. When he got home, what do you want to do? He'd put the car on the jack and rotate his tires. You know, he can't understand why when I get home, I don't want to cook 24/7. At least you want to cook a 5-course meal when you get home. What do you think I did all day? You know? But he works at road truck equipment and does that, and he just lives. He just can't sit down. He just can't, okay, here's the lawn chair, here's the beach. He can't do that. He's got to be going 100 miles an hour all the time. I mean, that's him. I mean, but I get docked all the time for being stereotypical. Here we go, because that's what they commented on that thing. I'm not being stereotypical. What I'm saying is that post from some people I know that are in the schools, that stuff goes on. And I showed that to one of my friends at work. First thing she said, she goes, "That is so true." That was my parents. You know, that's ding, 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 ding. Wow. Because I have two people that are 100% saying that that's not the case. That no one's going out and partying while their kids are home. There's no one that's putting, that there's no parents out there that are not really parents. They're just, well, we had sex, she's the inconvenience, so we just get a babysitter so we can live like we're 21 again with no kid. I'm not saying every parent is like that, because my friend is not like that. Even though I have babysat for her and the kids still want their mom, that doesn't mean she's a bad parent. She's a great parent. She would do anything for those kids. She's there for them. But I'm stereotypical. Just like all these Republicans are racist. You know, it's amazing how someone will say that every Republican is a racist because they disagree with Obama, and that's not stereotyping, but what I have is stereotyping. I love it. Yeah. I'm not, like I said one time, it's not every time that there's, I'm not saying this is everybody, but when you look at a lot of the videos of interviewing people, they just went to American University. They asked like 30 people, okay, name a senator. I don't know any. We're just going around asking people if you guys can name a senator. I don't really follow politics. I just don't think it affects me. Can you name a senator? Is Ron Paul? Yay! And I think one person named Ron Paul. And that was it. And then there was some theme to like a movie, like Freeze or something. And everyone can answer the question, what's the theme song to the movie Freezer, I think it was, or something, I don't know. I don't follow that crap. But, and I'm like, none of them said, like, Senator John McCain, Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Dan Coats, Ron Paul, Ted Cruz. But they're the ones that vote. We're just giving a snippet. We're not stereotyping. But when they interview tons of people that voted for Obama, who'd you vote for? I vote for Obama. Who's his running mate? John McCain. Well, what was it about Barack Obama's platform that you like? What you talking about, platform? This interview's over. We want to ask you, you vote for Obama, yep? Okay, well, who is Nancy Pelosi? I think I've heard the name, but I don't know who she is. Harry Reid? No. I'm not saying every person is like that, but there was a big chunk of people that voted for Obama who couldn't tell you anything. They actually went, I think it was to Kentucky, and there were people like up in the Hillbilly Mountains that still thought Bush was president. Well, he ain't going to get Bin Laden, man, there in Coots. George Bush ain't going to get Bin Laden, you kidding me? And this is like 2 years after Obama's president, and there's this person interviewed like these people from like the Deep South and like in Kentucky and Tennessee that all the way down the Deep South that thought that Bush was still president. It's just nuts. It is. It's just crazy. We're not stereotyping. We're just saying when you interview a ton of people and a lot of people said this or that, you know, okay. When you get a chunk of people that are, you know, out there pushing people to vote and vote for Obama, but they don't know anything about anything, that's what's scary. I'm going to quick read you a little quote. I love my Facebook, and it's so true. Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And, you know, like this one guy said, this liberal, he goes, if Sarah Palin was a liberal, he would essentially, they would praise her. You need to take Ted Cruz and some of those and put, you need to take like the Ted Cruz, Ron Paul people and put them in the Democratic Party. You need to get some Tea Party conservative type people and put them in the Democratic Party and push the government like Ted Cruz and Ron Paul is. You need to. Wasn't really going to be a political type show, but it's just going back to my point that I had people going off with my thing about parenting that, guess what? Stereotype. You know? I mean, my dad did what he did. My grandma said this. You know, you make your grave, and you bury in it. I mean, my sister's a fine example. Jesus Christ could come down and he'd have the wrong color shoes on. My biological sister. I mean, I have no one. I have nothing. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, you make your own grave. I'm not going to give money to someone. Why would I give money? I'm never going to get it back. I don't expect to get a dollar back. If I give someone a dollar, I don't expect to get a dollar back. If I do, it probably won't be from them. It'll be from someone else. And if I don't get the dollar, I might get something else in exchange. I may have five little things that I do that add up to something else. I believe in karma. I believe, like, if you do good to people, it'll come back to you. Maybe not from them, excuse me, but from somebody. You know, it'll come around. And I just, you know, like I've said before on the program, see that sign, see that wording underneath the sign? It says Christian. We either abide by it or we paint over it. We don't accept Michael Orr because of the sports. We accept him because it's the right thing to do. I do a lot of what I do, not because I have to, because it's the right thing to do. You know, every day needs to be September 11th. Every day we need to have people helping people just because they're helping it. You could have been a millionaire around September 11th if you had American flags. And you want American flags? You could have probably gotten 10 pounds of it's worth. You can't find one to save your life. Every day should be September 11th in terms of helping people. You know? I got about 4 and a half minutes left in the show, but I'm a nice guy, and it just really gets me when I hit buttons with people and I piss them off. When when I'm not meaning to. And I'm going to finish up the last section of the show with this question. We're going to switch topics entirely. But how in the heck can Manchester United be doing what they're doing in the Champions League? Okay, in the Premier League, you got 54 points. You're in seventh. How in the heck can you be that bad in the Premier League, but in the Champions League, a 1-1 tie with Bayern Munich? I was expecting it not even to be a game. I was expecting, you know, it to be like, you know, 3-0 or 3-1, you know, Bayern Munich. Are these teams saying, oh, it's Manchester United, you know, they suck this year, who cares? We'll be able to beat them easily. And then they sit there and go, well, wow. They did a 1-1 tie with Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and $100, they lose 3-0 or 3-1 against Newcastle United on Saturday in the Premier League. Seriously. I'm surprised they're doing what they're doing in the Champions League. I really am. And I think a lot of people are too. But when you look at that, I wouldn't, like David Mosey, I think, is taking on, I wouldn't want that job for all the team China right now. I mean, he is taking over for Shaq Ferguson. It's not going to be easy. If they're still struggling, like in seventh place in the Premier League at this time next year, then you got to say, okay, hey, but I don't think if it was like that, I don't think he'd be there if this was the second season in seventh. I don't think he'd be there. But who knows? He says he's there for the long haul, so we'll just have to wait and see. You know, I mean, what's really changed about their team? Nothing, I don't think. But the thing, you have a person like Chicharito. Why isn't he playing? I actually put a thing on my Facebook that goes, as a picture of Chicharito, and it goes, I don't always play in the game, but when I do, I score. And I'm like, yep. I mean, I know you have so many great players in Manchester United, but still, like, why they didn't play Di Matteo Berbatov more? Why they didn't play Chicharito more? Why aren't they? And I wouldn't be surprised if Chicharito said, bye-bye, hey, you. I want to play. So, you know, I got about 90 seconds left, and I'm just trying to keep paying my prayers and hope all went well with your mom and the surgery, and it's going well. And I want to give a shout-out to my girl, Melissa. I think she's listening, I'm sure. She's one of my faithful listeners. And even if she can't catch it, she'll listen to the replay. And it's just, like I tried to tell Tammy, and I'll kind of leave it with this, you know. I don't try to explain God anymore. I just, whatever happens, happens. You know, if I had my way, I'd have been in September 11th, I'd have been in New York and bang. There's a reason why he closed his doors or opened his doors. Yeah. I don't understand. I guess, like the A-team, that female reporter would go, Hannibal's plans don't always work right. They just work. You know, and that's how I've kind of come to understand God. His plans don't always work right. They just work. The end result may change. To get from point A to point B, it may change the path, but the end result's the same. So thank you for all listening. Have a great day. God bless you all. Bye-bye.